Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Bhuttaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So this is a further detachment in stereo. Another way in which we can talk about detachment is the perfect balance between wisdom and compassion. So a wisdom that draws away and the compassion that is drawn towards. The perfect balance, I would suggest, between these two is the quality of detachment. So the mind sees the impermanence of things, then there's a drawing away. But there can also be a compassion at the same time, and there's naturally or will be. The seeing is absolutely right, perfect sight, 40-40. So we go on in the practice then, you know, you watch how our minds can get carried away with wisdom or carried away with compassion, and one can lead and then the other one leads. We go out of whack. If we get it right, then and we keep them together, we see the mind going one way and then we balance it out, or it balances itself out. So sometimes it can be the discussion or the verbalization, expression of these qualities that be deceptive, so we start talking in a wisdom way about things. The compassion element may not be necessarily so obvious. Similarly, we talk in the way of compassion and the wisdom element may not be so evident. So this can be a limitation of language that at one moment our minds can sound wise and then another moment our minds can sound compassionate. And often if we're trying to express the combination, the blending of the two, then all we say is something that swings between one and the other. We say something from wisdom faculty and then we want to balance that or soften it or point out the application of it towards compassion. So you see, compassion is the application of wisdom, the true compassion. So it can be a worldly compassion, or a compassion that is tainted with attachment or indulgence, or the compassion that isn't, compassion that is clear and strong. It's neither indulgent nor stingy or hard. And as we go along the path, then it's like left, right, walking along the path. Left is wisdom, right is compassion. So it can seem like if we're getting it wrong, we get this feeling that we're hopping along. You don't really feel like that. You know, it's a lot of effort to keep it going. There's something not right here. You know, all of a sudden it's You think you're going, think you're getting it right, but it turns into a lot of effort. Just something that's not. You're just hopping along with wisdom or hopping along with compassion. And the two come together, and then you can be really striding. And it's so often in sight and in silence and in speech, as the mind is too conjoined with speech, the discursive mind, then it's going to keep whacking one to one side to another, one expression to another. It's one way in which silence and getting beyond words and beyond the intellect is important. It's extremely hard to express the combination between the two. You can try maybe in art or poetry or something to blend these two together, head and heart, might say. Perhaps a good poem is an example of a perfect blend between head and heart. This is a crude analogy. I mean, wisdom isn't just in anything, but wisdom's in the head, wisdom is about thinking. And this is a limited view of what wisdom is. I think that compassion doesn't involve thinking. This is a limited view of what compassion is, or can be. But you know what I mean, maybe. Absolutely. See how, as time goes on, then we can find some way of bringing head and heart together. It's only good enough to look at it like this way. Some kind of rationality and more feeling response. Coming right together. We're thinking equally of ourselves and of others, say. At times it's can be quite useful to be provocative, to challenge ourselves one way or the other, to challenge our preconceptions or our way of seeing things. A very cuttingly wise response, or a very all-embracing, loving response. So it can be the way to cut through that we find ourselves falling one way or the other. And if our compassion is kind of becoming tainted with desire or attachment, or and a very clear cutting through with wisdom. Even if we don't really mean it, even if this is just inside, it really doesn't really matter. It's not really important. What ultimate importance is this? Completely inside, inner response. It can be very helpful, despite the fact that it won't change our caringness, outer caringness. So that some ways that the Dhamma is a very internal thing, and at that point, we reflect on impermanence or the impersonal nature of things. This is a very internal thing. Because if this is applied, then we see more than that. We see impermanence, we have a perspective, but then we're reaching out to that. We're still we're looking for permanence. So it's actually in looking for permanence that we discover impermanence, actually. So this is perhaps another way in which the balance can show itself, that out of compassion for ourselves, we're looking for permanence, we're looking for the deathless, we're looking for a way out of old age, sickness and death. Out of compassion. We're seeing old age, sickness and death out of wisdom, with wisdom. Responding to it with compassion. Compassion and wisdom going in this order to take these two things in the same direction. Otherwise it can seem they're going in different directions, but they're not going in different directions. It's not a matter of one holding on and the other one letting go. They're going in the same direction, going in the direction of detachment. Detachment of the mind, independent already if it's not clinging. The Satipatthana Sutta, the mind is independent, not clinging to anything in the world. So just not clinging is already independence, stability. We don't need to go further than this. We won't wish to. If there's still the compassion in the mind, then there won't be a wanting to withdraw. There'll be a wanting to help. It's only the looking at things with unwise attention that draws us in to attachment and dependence and then old age, sickness and death. Looking on with wisdom and compassion doesn't do this. Mind remains detached in this middle state, not withdrawing and not attaching. We can practice is to keep reflecting on this, to keep this a key word in the teaching, detachment, keep reflecting on detachment, what that means, how it's a middle way, where is it in a given situation or the given relationship with things. Where is detachment? Detached position. Where is the detached position in this? The neutral, isn't it? So right there in the neutral ground. A positive mind would take us into things, a negative mind automatically wants to pull away. So perception is of a neutral nature. Well, that can endure pleasant and unpleasant feeling rather than a mind that moves towards pleasant and away from unpleasant. In terms of the feelings through the senses, that is drawn to an opening of mind. Rather than a grasping, yet not an opening that withdraws, that steps away from. So it's still a sensitivity. So there's a Tai Chi is a very good example of this. If anyone's ever practiced this or seen this practice, there's a thing called pushing hands in Tai Chi where two people are contacting, the hands contacting each other, feeling out your opponent. The mixture of pushing forwards and withdrawing in turn. You start off with one, it seems like one person is following the other person, one person pushes, the other one withdraws but stays in touch this light touch between the hands. This is the quality, the light touch between the hand of one person with another. One person pushes, the other one withdraws, and the other one person pushes and the other one withdraws. You start off with following each other like this, one person following the other. After a while you're not sure who is following. You're just mirroring each other, and just maintaining this sense of light touch to the movements. Any heaviness of touch then makes you vulnerable. One way or the other, you come forward with a heavy touch, then the other person can pull you. If you find the kind of centre of that push and push back, feel out where that push is coming from and push back at it, something like this. A bit hard to describe, but maybe you get the idea. It's another, you could say Tai Chi, pushing your hand, like a kind of dance of detachment or something like that. So in any stage, you can Google everything, you know, if you're interested in this analogy, just Google Tai Chi pushing hands or something. So easy now, isn't it? Too easy. So this is a good one to reflect on, this quality. So it's kind of, they're the same as dispassion. Dispassion is another part of this same state of mind, I would suggest. Dispassion and detachment. Or detachment is a result of dispassion, actually. But it's got an immediate result. So the mind cools down. So dispassion doesn't mean some kind of rejection of the passion. It's not a moving away from. It's not a moving towards, not a moving away from. And it is a very commonly misunderstood term. They're not moving towards the things of the senses, not a passion for them, but not a moving away either. Or maybe dispassion suggests a moving away from. So there's examples of these key words then, that you can see how there is a use for study there. If we choose a key word like this and then you feel it out, and these kind of key qualities. Well, is this what he meant by it? Is it like this? Is this dispassion? Is this detachment? How detached is this? So not being black or white either, and thinking, this is detachment and this isn't. But how detached is this? Or how dispassionate? How passionate, how dispassionate. Getting too black and white. You start to use the word and people can think that you're claiming something. This kind of way that the mind can go, and you start to talk about the goal. So if he talks like this, does he think he's enlightened? It's kind of the way this kind of, it's not, seeing it as a black and white thing, these qualities, or just the use of the word means the perfection of it. And it's the word samadhi as well. You talk about samadhi, there is this person claiming that he has samadhi. It's another strange way the mind can go. You're taking everything in black and white terms. This or that. Maybe there's a little bit of concentration there, a little bit of samadhi. What could this quality be like? And what can we deduce about what it may be like, even if we've never experienced it? Where might it be, within our experience? So it's a kind of open-minded way of practice and inquiry rather than a closed-minded one. So there's all open questions and open use of terms, but with a for reflection, always for reflection. So I offer this for your reflection.